Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, bring out your dogs and your cats and your other pets and your grandma and your aunt and your mailman and the milkman and anyone else that you can, because guess what? That's right, we're back for another podcast.
We're here. That was
Triforce.
It dropped at the end, but no, man, that was a real good build-up. That was like WrestleMania
Man. Let's get ready to podcast!
So WrestleMania happened. Everyone, a bunch of people talk about it, and I couldn't care less.
All right.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not a wrestling fan.
No, I'm with you. I don't understand the love that wrestling gets. I will never understand
it. I understood it when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah, of course. But now I mean, that I'm not fully 10 years grown old. People.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's WrestleMania. I'm like, you're not a child. What are you know, you're not getting excited. Yeah, it's a SpongeBob SquarePants. It's like, no, it's for kids.
Yeah. I felt the same way. Wrestling for me is a lot like seeing Weird Al Yankovic play live at BlizzCon. I lasted about 10 minutes until I thought to myself, I'm either going to kill myself or I have to leave this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you killed yourself, I think, actually.
I killed myself, yeah. I'm dead now.
Yeah.
I'm a ghost, and I've come back to warn everybody not to go see. Don't let nostalgia get the best of you. That is the perfect case in point where nostalgia got the best of me. I thought, man.
How bad was it?
It was just pretty cringy, actually. I was, you know when people watch you stream and they think that because they played, 12,000 hours of a video game that you're retarded because you've only played like 20 hours of it, and the whole time they're watching you they're saying like, oh my God, this is hard to watch, this is painful.
Oh dude, that's my life.
I'm face palming all the time.
Yeah,
I can't stop face palming. In fact, my face has not left my palm this entire time. That's 10 minutes of Weird Al Yankovic live for me. That's how it felt.
Wow.
So it was pretty bad.
God. I quite enjoyed it. I mean, I saw what he was doing, and I just went along. I just watched it for the spectacle.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was standing up. You know, we were all sat down.
Yeah, you were sitting next to Trump, remember? Not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Hearthstone Trump.
Yes.
Hearthstone Trump and his
the benign
carer?
Trump.
He seemed to be fucking enjoying it, man. Like, I looked over, and he was, like, laughing his head off and stuff.
I'm a huge fan of Trump. I shook his hand, man. It was cool. He looked like he was in the same position as you, Sips. Like, he didn't really like it, but he was sat there because he didn't really have anywhere else better to go.
I know.
It was like watching the fireworks display. Like, after 5 minutes, it's just boring.
Yeah.
But you're kind of
there. Were you bored of fireworks?
Well, the thing with fireworks displays is that they only last for about 5 minutes, realistically.
No. Some of them last for like 45 minutes.
What are you talking about? You know how much money that costs to put on a 45-minute firework display?
Yeah, but the ones I used to go to in like the local village and town were so pathetic.
Yeah,
they'd set off like one firework every two minutes and an old man would have to go out and flip and light the next
display.
One.
That we're talking about something big.
We're talking like New Year's Eve London, like huge, with like,
I'm talking about your own fireworks display that you run in your own house. Okay. You think it's going to be great. It's like a Weird Al Yankovic sketch. You think it's going to be great. You're like, get over there. You flip and set your fireworks off. And after a few, you're like, oh, I've still got like 20 fireworks set off and I'm kind of bored of these.
There's only a couple of things in this life that are 100% guaranteed. And one of those things is that a homebrew fireworks display is going to be shit. Like, there's no two ways about it. It's every time, without fail, it'll be bad. Guaranteed. Nobody's ever done a good one.
No, and the only time it's good is if it gets dangerous, right? If someone starts shooting fireworks out of their ass or out of like a cannon strapped to their arm.
Or like, there's a, I saw a GIF, I think, the other day of a dude who had like a Roman candle.
A GIF.
And he was holding the stick in his teeth. This is after like a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And it went off and it just, It was like a flamethrower in his face. Like, it took forever to launch, and he just, like, fell backwards, and I don't know, maybe part of his face is melted.
I think those sparks don't actually do too much damage, so I don't think he had, like, massive third-degree burns or anything. Yeah. I think he was just, like, a bit shaken up, because the sparks from those fireworks are, like, they did, like, tickle. It's like holding a sparkler close to your hand, you know, it doesn't actually...
Imagine it just gave him, like, thousands and thousands of little tiny cuts all over his face.
Oh, it might have done that, yeah.
That would hurt.
But that would look pretty cool.
That would hurt a lot, actually.
So, yeah, well, I don't know where the fuck we got onto this from.
It brings up this interesting point. Would you rather have 10,000 really tiny cuts on your face or just one gigantic gash on your face? I think both have...
How tiny are the tiny cuts?
Like little tiny paper cuts, but like thousands of them. Every square inch of your face is covered in these little cuts.
All right, so here's the question. Are those tiny cuts going to heal, leaving a scar, or not?
Probably.
Oh, no.
They'll leave little tiny scars, like acne scars.
No, they'll turn into like little tiny scabs.
You'll be a crater face when it's all
really
done.
Really tiny.
I'd rather have one big scar.
Me too, actually. But
Would you rather be like a super badass pirate with a mega scar running all the way across your nose, like up one eye, you know? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But not losing the eye.
I think the sex appeal afterwards, instead of, you'd look like Scarface instead of Crater Face, which is obviously.
I think Scarface is a lot more sex appeal than Crater Face.
Crater Face, I mean, you're probably not going to bed any ladies with that. But you might, you know, like you might laugh them into bed or whatever. But like Scarface is definitely going to be like, oh man, you know, I'm in the mood for a bad boy.
You're right.
Here's Scarface.
I've never laughed a woman into bed.
It happens.
I don't even know
how
that happens.
Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
ladies love a good sense of humor.
They love it's a good important. Laugh. Yeah.
Damn Look it. At Woody Allen. Yeah. Dude's tapped mad amounts of fanny in his time, I'm sure. He didn't do it on sex appeal.
No,
he
that's
did it on humor.
For damn sure. Like, first of all, his fashion sense is a train wreck. And second of all, he just looks like a bit of a fucking nerd, doesn't he? He's got like glasses
really
and stuff, and he wears like a fucking cardigan sweaters and shit. Like.
He's like a Poindexter.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's like an adult version of Mister Rogers, kind of.
So you know what? You know what's weird is he ran off with one of his adopted daughters, like Sun Yi. Is that her name? So he was with Mia Farrow. They adopted a bunch of kids. They were like the first celebrity couple that I can think of to start adopting a shitload of kids, right?
Yeah.
Like Madonna and what's her name? Jolie.
Brangelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Why did they do that for a start?
Because Mia Farrow's a nut. I think she's a nut. And they, you know, it's just one of those sort of right on celebrity things. I don't know.
So he didn't want to put his dick in crazy, is that?
Yeah. Well, you say that. I mean, here's the thing. I wonder if halfway in, Woody Allen just thought, you know, this is pretty sweet. We could adopt some hot girls.
Halfway in, what, to her vagina?
I only like to stick it halfway
just
in.
Wondering if he saw it like, you know what? We could adopt a hot teenager and then I could marry them. And that's exactly what happened. He adopted Sun Yi and now they're a couple. It's fucked up.
That's pretty fucked
that's
up.
That's really yeah. messed up.
I think the whole adoption thing, I think when you're a female celebrity and you have a career in acting and looking good or modeling or whatever, I guess some women don't want to have babies because it changes their body a lot. So like at like the aftermath of having a baby is that you might be like a bit fat or whatever, and it takes longer to get back to work and stuff. So maybe that's why they adopt.
She's had four kids.
Oh.
And she adopted 10.
Oh.
So
no way.
Okay, I take it all back.
What?
That's a lot.
I thought that maybe Rosemary's Baby had put her off having children, and she was like, I ain't having no devil babies. I'm going to adopt them. But instead, no, she's got 14 kids. Yeah.
Jeez, that's a lot of kids. I mean, two is a lot of kids.
14?
They're all over 80.
If you're adopting them when
they're
like...
all over 80?
Come to me, my children! Mommy? Hey, Mommy, my back's hurting again.
Mom, have you seen my dentures?
I bet you there are weird old people who would love to be adopted by young mum. I'm sure there's old creepy old guys that would love it.
I guess like anything goes nowadays, 2017. Like, look, Woody Allen married his teenage adopted daughter.
I mean, that's so fucking
Mayfair
weird.
Has like 14 kids. You know, John Travolta looks crazy.
Do you want to hear about her children? Are you ready for this? All right, this is interesting. As of September 2016, Mia Farrow has 11 living children, 4 biological, 7 adopted, including her adopted daughter, Soon Yi, from whom she's estranged. Yeah, no shit. 3 of her adopted children, Tam, that's Tam, Locke, and Thaddeus, are deceased. All right? Farrow and former husband, Andre Previn, have 3 biological children, twins, Matthew and Sasha, and Fletcher. In 1973 and 76, respectively, they adopted Vietnamese infants Lark Song Previn and Summer Daisy Song Previn, followed by the adoption of Soon Yi from Korea. And then she's also got Dylan Farrow. He was known as Eliza for a while and also as Malone. I mean, what the fuck is going on? She's just snapping up kids and giving them loopy loo names. What the hell is going on?
Oh, gee whiz.
Why do celebrities always feel the need to give their kids crazy names? Because wasn't David Bowie's son called Zoe Bowie, but then he changed his name to Duncan Jones?
Yeah.
And then, what about like Gwyneth Paltrow and Coldplay guys' kids are called Apple. Like Apple and like Banana?
I think they named it when they were in the kitchen.
Mango.
They're just looking around the kitchen.
Mango boy.
Spatula.
That's a girl.
Oh, shit.
But Mia Farrow then adopted 5 more kids in the 90s. Tam Farrow. Right, this
a pretty typical Scottish
name,
right?
Tam O'Shanter, right? So Kaylee Shay Farrow. That's Kaylee, K-A-E-L-I.
Irish. That's Irish.
Shay,
yeah, that's
it. S-H-E-A. Kaylee Shay.
So that's an Irish adoptee. And then Tam was adopted from Scotland, clearly.
Right. Later known, that was Kaylee Shay Farrow, was later known as Quincy Maureen Farrow.
Wow.
And then a guy called Frankie Min, then Isaiah Justice, and Gabriel Wilk Farrow, later known as Thaddeus Wilk Farrow. Just change your name. And named after Elliot Wilk, the judge who oversaw their legal battle.
Thaddeus sounds like a fucking Sith.
Thaddeus
doesn't
isn't
he?
A name you change to, it's a name you change from, right?
Well,
Darth Thaddeus. Have you heard the tale of Darth Thaddeus?
He died in a car crash, but he'd also shot himself in the torso while he was driving the car, just to make sure, I guess. Like, what the fuck?
I know we don't talk about games a lot. On the podcast anymore because it's depressing, but I have a tale to share with you guys of a recent RimWorld playthrough that I did. Wait, I did a tribe playthrough of RimWorld, okay? So if you've never played RimWorld,
yeah, I like the tribe.
You could do the Crashland one where you crash in a spaceship and you have some bits and pieces from the spaceship and you know some technology like electricity and stuff. But if you start with the tribe, they don't know how to do anything. They can make campfires and they can hunt and gather.
And it takes them ages to research. It takes a very long time
yes,
to research.
Yes, and it's hard to survive for the time it takes to research because they get lots of diseases and it's hard to make food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. Like, I've almost researched electricity and stuff and I'm doing okay, but it's the winter. And it's really, really the winter, okay? It's cold as hell. It's like minus 30 every single day. But everybody's got parkas and toques and stuff, and they're fine. They're pretty warm. But then we have a toxic fallout, which lasts for months, okay? So people are kind of confined to being indoors. They can't really go outside too much. They can't, like, stray too far from the camp, or else they'll get, like, lots of toxicity build up and they'll die. And then we had a volcanic winter, which is a volcano erupting, a lot of ash going into the sky and the atmosphere and stuff and sort of blocking the sun. So it got colder, okay? So there's a dog called Polly that kept wandering out to get food because we're running out of food. So Polly would wander out and try to eat berries off of bushes and whatever Polly could find, dead bodies.
Right.
So Polly somehow got in a tussle with one of the townspeople who went berserk because things are pretty bad. There's no food. Everybody's really stressed out and unhappy and stuff. So this townsperson almost punches Polly to death, okay? So Polly is incapacitated in like minus 50 degree Celsius weather and loses literally every body part possible to frostbite, okay? Like the jaw is lost, the nose, both ears, every leg, like the tail, everything is lost to frostbite. But somehow we managed to keep Polly alive, okay? So
he's like a triple.
Yeah, yeah.
So, please kill me. There's no
Polly cannot walk. Polly can't leave Polly's sleeping spot at this point, okay? But Polly is still somehow alive. We can't make a wheelchair for Polly. We can't do anything with Polly. Somebody has to manually feed Polly every day. And that's the beauty of RimWorld. It's just insane. The shit that
happen. But you got to keep Paulie alive, right?
Hell, I mean,
that's become your quest, is we got to save Paulie.
Well, and Paulie's been trained up and is linked to a person. So that person will be even more unhappy if Paulie dies on top of all the other
They'll have a serious breakdown.
Oh, can you not make fake limbs for animals?
I think maybe it's something that you can do later on after you've researched some stuff. Because I remember giving a peg leg to a dog one time. But you know, like a different playthrough. But I don't seem to have the option to do it with Paulie, and I think it's maybe because my doctors aren't a high enough skill or something.
Yeah.
So my only options are to administer luciferium, which is like a class A drug, which I have done a couple of times to Paulie. So Paulie also has need for luciferium now. Or euthanize Paulie, which I don't really want to do. So
no,
it's a bit of a tough one, but. Man, I can't recommend RimWorld enough. It's such a fantastic game.
I need to do another playthrough. I did a couple and then I stopped for a bit. And then, I need to do another one. Because it was just brutal. Like, what difficulty do you play it on?
Rough.
Oh, wow. Because I did that and every single time what would happen is we'd suffer the heat stroke.
Oh, yeah.
We'd almost all die. And then a massive fire would come would be like out of
fires
ideas.
Fires are pretty brutal,
I had one that was like, there's a heat wave and all your crops have blight. And you're being raided. And you're being raided again. Yeah. I was just like,
you get raided by a dude who has Molotov cocktails and you're done pretty much. Especially if your whole base is made out of wood. But I got obsessed with doctoring and the fact that you could like harvest body parts from people.
Right.
I made this sort of like law in the settlement where you had to donate a kidney if you wanted to be part of the settlement. So that was the price you paid. It's like the iron price. You have to have a kidney removed from you, and that's how you can tell that you're meant to be like in the colony. And and everybody has died like during the surgery.
Oh, God.
Basically.
Do you have like no decent doctor?
No,
or is the doctor just some crazy psychopath with like a pair of shears?
All the good people have died. Like one of our best guys died mid kidney harvest, and that's when we sort of we reformed the law a little bit to say that if you're already part of the community, you don't have to go through
existing
it. You don't have to pay the price. Yeah, because
kidney.
We lost like our best cook to a bad kidney operation. Yeah.
Oh man.
Right.
I had a game one time where I had a guy called Mason who was like a cowboy type, and he got a really he was our doctor for some reason because no one else could do it. And the chef who was prone to bouts of craziness fought our dog, and the dog bit his arm so badly that it got a bad infection. And we decided we're going to have to, I think it was his leg actually, we decided we're going to have to amputate it. And as Mason is amputating the leg, is mid-operation, the infection clears up, but it's too late. So he just had to go through with it and cut off his leg. So he's walking around with a peg leg that he just didn't need.
Oh,
you're like, oh, man. Sorry.
Yeah. You can make it. You can make like a bionic people.
You can, but we didn't have the skill or the money to buy one.
Fucking
so he
amazing.
Was just walking around with his fucking wooden leg that he didn't even need.
Oh, man.
Mason was like, sorry, bard, it cut your leg off.
Oh, shit. No, it is very fun. So have you guys done anything of note in the last week? We're back sort of on track now, right? We recorded a podcast last week. We're doing one today.
Yep.
With any luck, we'll do one next week as well.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I went down to Brighton, which I've never been to before. It's quite a nice little town on the south coast. It was a really sunny day. Went on the beach, paddled in the sea, went down the pier, played on the old 2P machines.
Oh, yeah.
In the arcades and stuff, and I don't know, just had a good time.
Cool.
Had some
churros.
Now,
what do you
churros.
Call those machines? Because I call them the twopenny shoves. But I don't
the twopenny shovers. But yeah. Nan used to take me to the arcades because she used to live in Clacton-on-Sea. Mm. So when we were kids, you know, we'd get dropped off at Nan's and she'd walk us down to the front and we'd... So it brought back a lot of old memories, really, of like, you know, hanging out with my Nan. And so she'd give us, you know, a pound coin and we'd get 52p's and... You know, that would last us about an hour in the two penny shovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of entertainment. You don't get that much for a pound. You know, it's hard to find, you know, an hour's entertainment for a pound these days, right?
Yeah. Guys? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I play a lot of iOS games and those don't cost a penny. And they've lots of entertainment there to be found, so.
Okay, I suppose I'm wrong, but no, I do. I really enjoyed that. It reminded me of like just it's all of these like the smells, like the really dirty coppery feeling of all these old toupees,
yeah, God.
And sort of I don't know, like just the sounds it makes and sort of the smells and of it. Slightly kind of grimy, slightly kind of dirty, but man. Because it's on the pier and it's on the ocean, yeah. It's kind of all slightly rusted and slightly the sea air is like I don't know, just sort of it's kind of weird. I mean, and we went on the roller coaster on the end of Brighton Pier, which was a good laugh. It's very rickety. So the roller coaster, right, on the end is there's like three to choose from. One of them is just like spins you around, like it's like the vomit-o-matic. One of them is like a log flume, and I didn't really feel like I wanted to like have wet pants all day, so I was like, meh. And the other one is like a roller coaster, but it looks rickety and dangerous, as all pier-based roller coasters should be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only the best roller coasters look like you're going to die. When you go on them, you know, that's like it's like the Funfair roller coaster. It looks unsafe. It probably is unsafe.
Yeah,
and that's part of the fun.
Well, if you saw how those things were put together, you'd never go on one. Like the people who put them together, especially like the traveling sort of like Funfair ones. Mm. You know, they just seem to appear in the space of a day, and you think, "Wow, that's crazy! How did this roller coaster get here?" And then you delve into it a bit. You do like a panorama on it. Like a investigative report, and you find that the people who've put it together are not trustworthy at all. They smell like cabbage as well because they're carnies. Man, those people who possess like this weird skill of being able to like stand on the roller coaster and jump from car to car while the roller coaster is going, but they're not good at anything else in life.
Yeah,
it's really
weird.
Like those people who run the carnival like rides and could just step in and out of traffic.
Yeah.
Without like gracefully, like a ballerina, just dodging.
And they have
the
like
sort of
the drug sweats as well. It's not even just like normal sweating. It's like kind of like half withdrawal sweating and also, you know, rigorous physical activity too.
Yeah. So I went on that thing and man, it was. Do you know what though, right? I've been on a bunch of roller coasters in my time. We went to Universal Studios and Disney when we were out in LA last like year or so ago, and went on a bunch of the roller coasters there, and they were okay, right? They were quite chill, but a lot of them were kind of VR experience roller coasters, which I'm not a fan of, honestly. Like, if I want to go on a roller coaster, I don't want to sit there and imagine I'm in some sort of fucking video game.
Are you talking about the Simpsons
bumps me around
one?
Well, not only the Simpsons one, but it felt like all of the newer roller coasters, like the Harry
Transformer
Potter
one was like that too. It was like VR.
They
sort of
all
thing.
Seem to have like you get into a normal roller coaster, but then you pull down some sort of fucking
screen
visor.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what the fuck am I even doing in a physical environment? I might as well just be doing this in my living room.
They're pretty fucking fun, though.
Do you know what I mean?
Like.
They're okay, but I always felt a bit motion sick. Anyway, this one, right? It felt like I don't know whether it was just my seat, but I felt like the protective thing bars that come down were like super super loose.
Right.
Okay. And so every time we would like bump around a corner or do a sharp turn or whatever, it felt like my spine was like being like a chiropractor was just like snapping it. And so I think I feel a lot better. I feel a lot looser. It was like, thank God I've been doing a bit of, I basically came out of that roller coaster. I was like, holy shit. Like, thank God I'm like not super, super unfit now, because otherwise I would have like injured myself. I felt like I'd fucking.
Yeah, but if you're really fat though, it's just more cushion. To protect
I think
you,
if
right?
I was really fat, I wouldn't have had the problem.
Speaking of getting in shape, I want to hear about your latest conversation with your personal
please.
Trainer.
You know what? As a counterpoint to what Flax just said, I don't want to fucking hear what you're saying to your...
I want to hear.
You guys,
I want to know.
People have been losing their mind about me, thinking I'm some sort of socially awkward autist.
I don't know about the autism and stuff, but I personally, my theory is that you might be having some sort of like midlife mental breakdown or something.
He can't. He's not midlife yet. He's like 30. It's
like some mild dementia or something. Do you have any dementia in your family? Out of interest,
I don't think I don't think it's like that. Okay, it's just. I'm not. Look, it's not as bad as you guys make it out to be.
Okay.
Right? We. It's fine. It's a normal thing. It's fun. It's great.
You're talking to your personal trainer, a guy that you don't really know, about like touching a pussy and like weird stuff like that, being gay. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, that it doesn't sound that bad, but actually, even just listening back to the things that you've said to this guy allegedly, sounds pretty bad.
What I was surprised about was how dark you are now in your clothing choice and everything. Like, you arrived in the office yesterday dressed entirely in black, riding a black bicycle. Like, yeah, I think he's transitioning into some kind of a ninja.
Oh, maybe.
Like, that's my first thought. Like, he's actually becoming an assassin, an international assassin.
Yeah.
He looks, he's got the live look of a Lebanese assassin who's going to sort of pop out of an alleyway and stab me in the throat.
Yeah. Do you have any, are there any people in your family who are Lebanese? Because you do look really Lebanese.
I don't know. You know, maybe I should do, like, maybe I should do some,
maybe
some
you should go on to familytree.com
stuff.
I've actually, you know, I've actually done that.
Ancestry.co.uk and figure it out.
I've sent away.
Have you done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I sent away the DNA test. I sent it away the other day. It might have come back by now. When I get back.
You did the 23andMe thing.
No, you send away for this kit and you spit in a tube a bunch of times and then you send that in and some poor lab bastard has to deal with your spit and figure out what your genetic history
is. I wonder if that stinks when you open the vial.
No, because you mix it up with this blue water that's in there. So right. When you spit in there, you then seal it up. It's quite clever. You seal it up and this solution goes in. It's like a stabilizing solution.
Oh, to keep it from drying out or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, it's never going to tell you something good, is it? It's never going to say, well, your genes are fantastic. It looks like you're going to live for 100 years. It's not. It's going to be
looking
like,
for validation.
Your family is prone to kidney disease and butt cancer.
No, I just want to find out what's the background there. Because I went on the Ancestry and I was going back, through all my sort of family history and everything. Because the kids are curious. They're like, where is that? Why do we have a Scottish last name? But we've never been there. And I was like, well, let's find out. So I went back along and I found a guy.
Yeah, was his name Bruce?
It was not, but very clever. But he was way back there.
Okay, sorry.
And he was a baker in Scotland. And then he fucked off to Canada because I've got tons of family in Canada. So he went from Scotland to Canada in like 1864 or something and then started having kids out there. And so now I've got this huge swathe of Canadian relatives.
Whoa.
What?
Are they in the BC
area?
Are you in
Zips? Yeah.
Lewis all of a sudden.
Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh, I'm from Ottawa, Ontario.
Well, there you go.
I grew up there. I was born there. I was born on June the 5th, 1980 at Riverside Hospital, which is still there. It's big. It's much bigger now. It's a much bigger hospital than it was.
I'm amazed they haven't renamed it to after you.
Riverside.
They should have.
Yeah. Well,
Then it was just a log cabin surrounded by otters and beavers.
Chris Levis Memorial Hospital. Tragically, he killed himself during a Weird Al Yankovic concert. So this is how we remember him.
Shit.
And that's how we like to remember old Chris.
So I want to see if your family tree's intertwined now, P-Flex. Yeah. I want you to both keep going back and see if you lived in the same place or same village or maybe you lived in the same
no,
street.
No, I mean, I've looked at the family history and it's all Forsyths.
Yeah, no,
pretty much.
I'm like, my family aren't from Ottawa. Like, we just settled there. Like, my parents just happened to be in Ottawa when they met and they settled there. But like, their families didn't live in Ottawa or anything like that. So
also, it's a big place, Lewis. That's like when you say that when you're abroad and you say, oh, I live in London. Oh, really? Do you know my mate Terry? No, I don't know Terry. You know, it's a bit like that. Canada's a big place with a lot of people.
I still think it would be interesting if, you know, both of your great grandfathers lived in the same town because there's a chance that they might have crossed paths, you know? There's a chance.
My grandparents were both, I guess, I don't know if this is the same for you guys, but like they were both like military families. So my mom and dad ended up living on bases all over Canada and abroad.
Right.
Like my mom lived in London for a bit. She lived in Germany.
You're a military
for a bit.
Brat.
And then my dad.
A lot of military.
My dad's dad wasn't like as high up in the military. So he had to live in like really shitty places in Canada on bases, like Goose Bay and stuff like that. Goose Bay. Fucking. Yeah.
Obviously, I think it was pretty hard not for relatives to be involved in the military back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking, it was everywhere. Like, my great-grandfather was a pilot in the First World War, and my grandfather was a pilot in the Second World War. On my mother's side, her father was in the Navy, and he did all kinds of secret shit with nuclear bunkers and things post-war. It's like, he couldn't talk about it much, but they were posted here, there, and everywhere.
Fuck.
And it was all something to do with the Cold War, but it was pretty cool. Wait. He was one of the last guys out of Hong Kong before the fall of Hong Kong.
Jeez.
Like, yeah, they sort of, when the Japanese were coming, there's a picture of him and all these other guys looking really, really pissed off and tired.
Yeah.
And they're just about to get on their boat and fuck off just before the Japanese get there. Yeah, it's pretty local.
My great-grandfather was a field medic in World War I.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking Imagine
Damn,
that.
That's risky. Yeah.
And then my grandfather tried to follow in his footsteps, but he wasn't old enough to fight in World War II. But he served in Korea. He went over to Korea whenever that was.
Damn.
Yeah.
The '50s.
Yeah, but he was pretty highly decorated. Like I think he, when he retired, he was like a colonel or something like that. It was like,
jeez,
yeah, he's pretty high up. Fuck, he did pretty good.
He did good stuff for killing the guys.
Yeah, yeah, his good friend, like who lived longer than it, because he died of cancer like quite young. He was like in his mid-60s, I think. He died of cancer. But his friend, who was sort of a similar rank and everything, stayed on. And then he's like fucking in his mid-80s now or something. And he still does like, he's still like a consultant because he retired as a general in the end. And he's like still a consultant for like the national defense or something. It's, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, make sure there's no Weird Al Yankovic concerts going on.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's still trying to keep, yeah, he's trying to keep the country safe by...
Because that runs anyway. In the family.
Man,
like, Weird
Al,
by
like, oh, Weird God, Al. I feel bad because I actually do still think that some of Weird Al's songs are very funny and stuff, but I don't know, like, I think it was just, it's one of those things, like, you know, when you just get that bit older and you just... You're not into it anymore.
I think everyone understands Sips. It's like people who
but
are...
But I feel bad for Weird Al, because I think that he's a pretty funny guy.
No, I don't
guy.
Think you should. I think a lot of people there were laughing, you know, the same way as, like, they didn't think he was good either.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It wasn't like... It was like a nostalgia trip for them as well. Like, they were the same way as you. I think he wasn't... You know, he's very aware of this as well. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the Oscars isn't what it used to be. They've changed, blah, blah, blah. But it's partly... we've changed, sure, definitely. But you've changed too. Our audience has changed and grown older and their preferences have changed and... You know, when you liked Weird Al,
yeah,
10 years ago.
I think I liked it. Yeah, that makes sense. Though I liked it better when you were that guy from Star Trek, instead of like this weird international ninja that wears all black now that you've become.
Right.
So you know, that side of it makes sense to me, I guess.
International man of
right. The
history.
Other day, right. This is a complete change of topic, but I thought it was funny. I was in Five Guys. Here in Bristol.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there, and the guy that hands out the paper bags, you know, they call out the orders like 24, and you come and get your order.
Yeah.
He didn't know any numbers other than 50 and one to nine. So all he would do, if it said 24, he would say, 54. And everyone's sort of looking like, what the fuck? 54? He just did, wasn't the previous order 23? It's like, 54. And in the end, I was like at the front of the line. So I would shout a translation for the order down the line. He'd shout 54, and I'd look at the thing and go, 34, and then the person would come forward. Like, I swear to God, it didn't matter if it was 20, 30, 40, it was 50. But this guy,
so you
were
acting as a kind of,
I was
like,
the relay.
Voluntary order shouter.
Yeah, but it was like all these students in the line. Like, they were all, literally all students, and they were all just laughing because this guy was like, 57? I'd be like, there's 27! Like, I just couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, what? Like, fair play to this guy, you know, he's coming over here, he's trying his best, but don't make him shout the numbers. Like, he doesn't know the numbers. Like, you're making a laughing stock of the guy. It's all right. He'll learn the numbers, but give him a
He's like, he spent like 20 years flipping. He's a master burger flipper.
Oh, he can flip a burger.
He can make a fucking Five Guys burger.
You bet.
Blindfolded.
If he knows, one to nine, he's set though. Why doesn't he just say, he could just do what my son does. If my son doesn't know what the number is, he says, it's a 2 and a 7. Like, he could have just done that.
He could.
It would have been,
your son's
it would have been better than what he was doing, which is really confusing. Jeez.
Or just instead of going for the 20 and they just know 2T or 3T. 2T7, 3T9.
Exactly.
What was this guy's beef then? He was just...
Hey, beef. It's a burger joint.
So yeah, no, but like...
I like that.
No, but what was up with him? Like,
well, he was just not a native English speaker. I don't know where he was from.
Right.
He's a big lad.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't going to fuck with him. I wasn't going to go up and say, oh, you don't even know your numbers. Like, he would have smashed my face.
Right.
So I was just trying to help him out. But he sort of, when he came up to me, he slid the bag over to me. And he sort of, he was looking at the number and you could see beads of sweat foaming on his brow. Like, he's thinking, I'm going to fucking say 50, whatever. And this guy's, and I was just like, 37, that's me. That guy was like nodding and holding up my thing and like, 37. I took it from him. He's like, yeah, 57. Yeah, you take the 57.
So how's Jersey looking in the summer sun? Have you been outside at all?
I have actually. I've been outside. We were outside last week, I think, all day. It was pretty nice. We went to the park. The weather is finally turning. We had a guy come over yesterday because I don't know if you remember when you were here, but there's a lot of weeds in my garden. Like the grass is like very weedy. You know, like if you cut it short, you can't really see it. But when it starts to grow, lots of weeds come in. Remember like around the fence and stuff, there were like bushes and stuff that were never tended. They were like all dead. And like there was like a little like palm tree that was kind of dying and stuff.
Yeah.
So we got rid of all of that shit. Okay. Like all the planters, everything it's completely gone. And we're getting rid of like the big vegetable patch that was there as well. And we're going to get a guy in to lay some new turf, but he has to do like a weed kill of the whole backyard basically, because he said, you know, if you don't kill them, the weeds, they'll just grow up through like the new turf that he's going to lay, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we're doing now. We have to get all that done. But it'll be good when it's done. We'll just have like a nice, it'll look like a golf course, like a, you know, like a putting green when it's all done. We're going to get like,
yeah,
and we're going to keep it.
Only the size of a snooker table.
Well, it's going to be, yeah. So like, it'll be good because then in the summer when the weather's really, really nice, then we could just lock the kids out of the house and they could play in the backyard. We don't have to worry about them eating weeds or anything or plants because it's just going to be turf and a trampoline. That's it.
Dang. Sounds like heaven. Do you have a back garden, P-Flex?
Yeah, we got a back garden. My wife went to, we thought we had a back garden. Okay, I'll tell you all about my back garden. But my wife went to a kid's party the other day and she just came back. She's like, holy shit, that person's house is fucking ridiculous. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it's a couple of roads over from us. Their garden was the length of our entire house and garden. Like, that was just their garden. So she was kind of jealous of that. And she was like, oh man, their house was so beautiful. And it was all spick and span.
Yeah.
And it was just stunning. And all the other parents are going, oh my fucking God, when we have to have them over to our house for a party, I'm going to feel like scrubs. But it is what it is. But we have a back garden that it used to be like a really, like one of those patches of grass that you get in London back gardens. Like all the houses are pretty close together. Most people have had their lofts converted. So they're all like three-story houses now. So the grass gets like no sun. It's like the saddest little patch of grass. Like it's just clumps of weeds that can persist there. So we paved over it with stones.
Yeah.
And we left like flower beds at the back and stuff for drainage and to grow flowers and bushes and trees and shit. Now the guy behind us, I'm sure I've spoken before about the Russian spy that lives behind my house, right?
No. I don't think I've ever heard of this guy.
All right, so the house that my garden backs onto their garden and then their house. So, you know, we're sort of, you know, he's in the next road, our house is back onto each other.
Ah, so he's not really your next door neighbor. He's
like your back door neighbor.
He's my back door neighbor.
Yeah.
I've seen him once in the...
Have you ever been around the front of his house?
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it. I've lived in this house for, what is it, 14 years now. Maybe 13. And I've seen this guy one time in that entire period. And yet I've often seen light on in the nighttime, like in the downstairs, or I've seen maybe occasionally a light in the upstairs. It's very strange. I have watched it through binoculars because I'm so curious. I'll sometimes peek and see what the fuck is going on in this house. The upstairs back window, someone's put a wardrobe in front of the window. So half the window is covered by a wardrobe, which is not something you'd ever do if you were using
that
room.
That's a fire hazard as well. Like, you know, if there's a fire in the house, you can't escape out the window.
Dude,
you have to keep the windows clear.
They don't need to escape. There's no one fucking there. Like they have a loft conversion, but I've never seen a light one up there. So it's just an abandoned attic at this point. Now, about 8 years ago, because I've been really keeping an eye on this thing because it's so weird. The upstairs window that so not the ground floor, the first floor, the back window there, it was fully lit up, right? There's no curtains in there, so no one ever uses that room. It's fully lit up. And I was like, I'm so curious. I got to see what's going on in here. I've never seen that light on. So I got my binoculars out and I'm peeking through. And there's a guy in there, a youngish guy, and he's got his hands on his hips and he's looking and he's got all this computer equipment laid out on the floor, just like racks and like a hard drive and all kinds of bits of computer stuff. He's in there for about half an hour looking at it. And then he just turns the light off and leaves. Never seen this guy again. Never seen anyone up in that room again. So I don't know what the fuck was going on up there.
Maybe it was the dude from WikiLeaks.
It's like Snowden or whatever. But it was just so fucking weird that this... So sometimes I'll go around the front and it's like the front door It's so overgrown. There's all shit grown all over it. Like, you wouldn't think anyone lived there. You thought it was abandoned. There's like a cobweb over the door and stuff. But then a couple of days later, you'll see that all that's gone and the door's clearly been opened. Like, there's sometimes recycling is left out, but sometimes there's just a stack of shit piled up on the... So it's like, what is going on with this house? And then to add to that, I found out that around the side, there's a little path, and that actually the ground floor is one flat, and the upstairs is a second flat.
Oh.
So it's actually two separate apartments. But the door to get into the upstairs is literally completely overgrown. It's like there's no way you could get into that door. It's so overgrown. There's so much vines and shit growing over it. So I'm like, what is going on with this house? Like, the houses where I live are worth a lot of money. Why is someone let this place go like that? So it just blows my mind. And their back garden is an actual jungle. What was a weed when we first moved in there is now a tree. There's a tree growing in his garden that's gone from weed to tree. It's so fucking
big.
Holy
shit.
So, it's just the weirdest situation.
It sounds like The Burbs. You know that movie with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just like that. Sardine?
It's just, there's going to be a murder mystery like in your neighborhood any day now based on your sleuth.
God, I love that movie. Satan is good. Satan is our pal. That's a great movie.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
Oh, it's got so many good
maybe
quotes.
Maybe it's like a safe house or like maybe it's like a bank owns it and they just have it as an investment.
Maybe it's like where Niko Bellic lives. You know, he's just...
Who's Niko Bellic?
The guy from...
From GTA.
GTA 4, right. Yeah, the Russian guy.
Right.
Maybe the guy's in prison.
No, he's not. It. Here's the thing. One of the guys, one time we were having a street party, and there was one of the guys that lives in that road was in our street party, and I said to him, do you know anything about the house? Are we back onto? He was like, oh, yeah. That guy lets me park my motorcycle in his front garden sometimes because it's, you know, there's no off-road parking around here. And in exchange for that, you know, I keep an eye on the house for him. I was like, where is he? He said, oh, he does a lot of business in Russia. That's what he said to me. He does a lot of business in Russia.
Man.
So I was thinking, all right, maybe he's a businessman. Yeah, fair enough. But as time's gone on, now I'm starting to think maybe he's a fucking
spy.
Does
he wear like tracksuits a lot?
I saw him one time only.
Oh, right.
One time.
Was he wearing a tracksuit?
No, he was not wearing a tracksuit.
Okay.
He was hacking.
Shattered all of my stereotypes of Russians.
He was hacking in the street.
Yeah.
Dimitri, we must hack the mainframe and steal data. And I thought, what's going on with this guy? That's a weird, weird thing to say. And that was the last I saw.
That accent was subpar. I think Lewis needs to do his.
Let us run, Dimitri, quick. FBI are on to us again. Catch us in their servers. Quick. Bring the firewall back up. I'm interested about this street party that happened, P-Flex.
Yeah, people have street parties. What's unusual about that?
It's London,
Lewis.
It's not fucking Brazil.
It's London.
What do you mean
they have street parties all the fucking time? It's like New York. They have street parties too, you know, like... They get hot dogs and hamburgers and they listen to loud hip-hop music and stuff.
They close off the street. We put up some bunting. The little tent goes up in the middle of our street, and our street and the next street will be invited. We'll have a barbecue. We had a hog roast the other year.
Whoa.
So, you know, you chip in and you get some live music and everything. It's good. It's really sweet. You meet all your neighbors that you never speak to for the rest of the year, and, you know, because it's London. Like, I've got people, my entire relationship with them for the last 6 years has been... Morning, like that. That's it.
Yeah.
And I've lived like opposite these people or a couple of doors down from them for like 6 years. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You don't want to get chatting to your neighbors too much though. If they're too close for comfort, you know what I mean? Like if they corner you and you have to talk to them at length at any point, that is just going to ruin the whole thing. You don't want to be chatting to your neighbors. You have to keep
it's
them
true.
At arm's length, you know, just like a nod and a smile and the occasional good morning.
I read a book called, I think it's called Watching the English. And it's a book about, it's like studying the weird social habits that we have. And one of the golden rules that I thought was really true is if you see someone in their front garden, it's perfectly all right to say, hey, how's it going? You talk to them. But if you see someone in their back garden, you do not talk.
Yeah.
Like that's like the private space. And I thought that was so true. Like if you're in your back garden, you pretend the other neighbors are not there. But when you're in your front garden, you're like displaying yourself like a peacock to the world. You're available to be spoken to. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. It's like your storefront is open.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just sell some, you know, beans that you've made and grown in your garden or whatever.
Magic beans.
Yeah.
Oh shit. That reminds me. I've got to do a lemonade stand this summer. Promised the girls for like the last two summers that they could do a lemonade stand.
What kind of Americanized bullshit
is
this?
Have you ever done a garage sale stand? Like in your front lawn as well?
No. I mean, they want, that's the thing. Now that once I agreed to the lemonade stand, Right, this, I feel like the local council, they're trying to push their luck. Like, they don't have a business license yet, and they're already trying to expand their business enterprise. They want to offer ice creams now,
what?
Old toys they want to be able to sell, and they want to sell a variety of drinks. And my eldest said, maybe we could sell beer. I was like, all right, sweetheart, I'm putting my foot down here.
Wow. Holy shit.
A, whose beer are you going to sell? Mine? That ain't for sale. All right, that's my beer. B, you ain't got a license.
Hey, but
all right, the police will look kindly on a child selling lemonade. Beer? No.
Flex,
no.
What
shut
if she
down.
Sells it for more than you bought it for, and then you could buy more beer with the money that? Because she's a kid.
I'll have to go out of the
kid,
house
right?
to buy beer. No,
oh, come
it ain't
on. You
happen.
Live in the UK. Just order it online.
I think we would get shut down.
Do a home delivery. Jeez.
We could do it under the table, like a little speakeasy. Like, they could sell the hard lemonade or whatever that's just kind of, fortified, but the kids aren't allowed it. Like, we could do that. That might be funny.
The special.
Hey, listen, on the topic loosely of Jersey and England and stuff. So, you guys are getting a new pound coin, right?
Yeah.
They're phasing out the old ones.
A big deal.
And the new one is going to be different, and it's coming in, okay?
Yeah.
And this affects us somehow, okay? We were over here, and we were happy with having in circulation some pound coins, yes, but also very popular locally, because Jersey has its own money, which is it's pound for pound sterling, but it has like Jersey stuff on it, and it's printed over here and stuff.
Yep.
We have pound notes over here, which is awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're fucking phasing them out now because of this new pound coin. Like, they're just going to adopt the new pound coin because apparently it costs too much money to print pound notes. How does it cost more money to print pound notes than it does to fucking do whatever they're going to do with these pound coins?
I think it's to do with longevity. I mean, I have pound coins that are fucking ancient. Like, you'll see these ones that are like from when they first came out still knocking about.
Yeah.
But the notes, they decay real fast, I think.
I guess. So
they, you know,
they get all
because they get used a lot, right?
Stuff,
yeah, exactly. I mean, they're in kids' pockets, probably.
But they're so.
So
fucking good, though. Like, I wish they'd just keep them, but they're going to phase them out.
Right,
now.
Right. For example, here's a pound in my pocket from 1983. Okay. So this coin is probably older than most of the people watching this podcast. So it's pretty fucking old.
I was 3 when that was issued.
There you go. The issue is they get forged a lot. Like, I can't remember what the forgery rate is for pound coins.
1 in 30.
It's high. It's high.
1 in 30 yeah. Current £1 coins are. Counterfeit.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So what?
Have you never seen
one? Did that all happen just like in one go? Like somebody just fucking made a whole bunch of them and they were like really good and they couldn't stop them or something?
I think it's an ongoing thing, all isn't right. it? I mean, yeah. But they're super easy to forge.
So these new ones are going to be like 12-sided or something and they're harder to forge.
Yeah, they are the most secure coin in the world. Like if you look at them, they look like a nightmare to make, but they are absolutely fucking amazingly difficult to forge, I'm sure. It's got all kinds
of
details.
And so how are they gonna do the check? Are they gonna check a pound coin the same way that they do with like the marker on the notes?
You pay with a pound.
They have
they
like a little like
light.
Thing that they have to put the coin
the loop,
in.
The little jeweler's loop fits. Out. Oh yeah. Biting it and shit. this pound this one. Looks looks good.
So like surely we're almost at the point now where everything should just at least cost a pound and no less. Like, when are we going to start getting rid of fucking, like, 50 pence and 20 pence and pence in general?
Well, I mean, I was thinking this when I was on the 2p machines. I was like, what the fuck do we use 2p's for other than putting them in 2p machines?
I honestly think that's probably the greatest use. I bet 2p's see more use in those 2p slider machines than anywhere else in Britain. Like, that's the last bastion of the penny in the
They're
two-penny
fucking
bit.
Annoying.
It really
like,
is.
To put it into card, 2p coin is the size of a loonie in like, the Canadian dollar coin. And, like, you know, fuck, it sucks having a bunch of those in your wallet, you know? Like,
they're
so annoying. And the 50p coins are even fucking worse. They're huge. Like, jeez,
hey,
it's like a fucking...
No, you leave the 50p alone.
It's like a fucking dinner plate in your wallet.
You leave the 50p alone. It's a good coin, dude. They halved it. It was much bigger. And it was much,
and what about
much
the two, yes. The 2 pound coin can fuck off. Holy shit.
That's a great coin.
It weighs more than my car.
The 2 pound coin's a very solid
you
coin.
You leave our coins alone, all right? I'll give you the 2p and the 1p and a
2p and the
1p
is shit.
Fuck a 5p's right up
five
the arse.
5p's can fuck right
you,
off.
You leave
too,
the 50 and the 20 and the pound and the 2 pound alone. There's a good coin.
I don't want those coins in my wallet,
you shouldn't be keeping them in your wallet anyway.
Where
who
am
keeps
I
coins in their
keep
wallet?
Them? I want to spend them
pocket.
At some point. Jeez.
In your pocket like a man.
Oh,
all right. You don't keep coins.
Sakes, I'm going to lose them all.
No,
put
you
them
keep
in the
them
charity
in your pocket.
Pots. Use them as tip jar. Jeez.
You don't keep coins in a wallet.
I wear track pants like all the time. They'll fall out.
Don't carry coins in track pants then.
Well, where am I supposed to carry them then? I need one
you
of those bum bags.
Don't carry coins. What do you
That's
need coins for anyway?
Bum bags exist because of track pants.
It's
honestly,
true.
Since contactless has come along, I fucking don't carry cash ever. It's like, it's really hurt the hobos and stuff because no one, contactless has really
yeah,
hurt.
But listen, what about when you go to a country that doesn't have that shit though?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's okay for you.
I found that in America, it's all, you still have to sign for shit.
Yeah,
like,
in Canada, it was all contactless and putting your pin
really?
In. And I didn't take a single Canadian dollar when I went to Canada and I paid for everything and on my one card and I never got it.
Yeah, but the thing
anywhere.
Is with that, okay, is that it's like all that shit goes into a computer and they can tell what you're spending your money on and they can fucking figure out your spending habits and then you start getting weird letters in the mail saying like, hey, I noticed you were in Canada 3 months ago and you bought a whole bunch of weed liquid for vapes. now we have, yeah. You know, I fucking hate that shit. Like, that's why cash is awesome because it's so fucking random. You can't fucking trace it. Like, I know there's marked bills and shit like that, but like, you know what I mean? They can't fucking figure out your spending habits and shit. And like, they try to do it at airports, right? Like, with your fucking, you need to have your boarding pass if you want to buy something. Why the fuck? Like, I don't want you to fucking know who I am. Like, what if I'm fucking buying a ton of lube or something and I don't want anyone to know about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these people can fuck off. Seriously. I should be allowed to buy lube and nobody should be able to find out about it, is what I'm saying.
I don't think they get a detailed breakdown of a receipt. You know, you could be buying a double-ended dildo and they're not going to
be that specific.
How do you
know, though? You're assuming that they don't, but maybe they do. Maybe they're, like, building a case against you right now. You know, they'll just arrest you for some reason. You're like, what did I do? And they're like, you're a terrorist. And you're like, well, how? And you're like, well, we noticed that you bought a whole bunch of lube. You're a sexual terrorist. And then you're like, well, fuck, I should have just used cash and I would have never been in this predicament.
Let's get rid of contactless. Let's take the first step to shutting it down. I think that's all we got time for today. We got a bodega, though, I think.
Yeah. This is the first hard copy bodega.
You know,
because I had to write it upstairs.
Yeah, we didn't even fucking... I totally forgot to mention it. It was an on the road because Pyrion's in Bristol for this one.
Oh, yeah. Pyrion is in Bristol. So if people have noticed the audio difference, that's fine. We've done the poker stream this week. Oh, we could talk about all this stuff next time.
Yeah.
It's been a good week.
It has.
Really,
had
really
a lot of fun.
Nice.
Are you ready for Bodega Part 20 Eneo?
So Pyrion wrote this... last night and this morning on the computer upstairs. Yeah. I had to print it out. So it's the first hard copy.
It is.
Of a bodega.
The first hard copy of a bodega. And I need to figure out how to send myself the digital copy so I have it to go in the collection.
Right. Email it to yourself. How about
okay.
that?
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bodega, part 20 Eneo.
Nice.
That was your idea for last
week. Yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad that you remembered and you kept going.
Tamira sat back to the wall in the darkest corner as she had been trained. The Wallop Bar was a bar like few others. Instead of paying an entry charge, customers were expected to show a life insurance policy at the door, and those without weapons were turned away. She had calculated her chances of making it out of this pit unharmed at around 40%, and death itself was around a 5% likelihood. Still, for a chance to meet with Bodega, she figured the odds were in her favor. After half an hour, there he was, the man himself, bang on time. A layperson might have assumed Bodega would be one of those people that turned up fashionably late, but people who knew him knew that to Bodega, late was dead. Late was the guy hanging off the ramp of an evac ship, screaming for his compadres to rescue him. Late was a co-pilot mistiming the jump to hyperspeed and getting caught in an exploding nova. Late was a Filtruvian sliphound begging for mercy while a gunch crunk smarkled like a Trevenwonk at the biannual Gremfrith. Late was nowhere. Bodega sauntered in without a care in the galaxy. Tamira felt her undergarments getting a little tighter, a little hotter. Yeah, so what? She'd always had a crush on Bodega. It didn't have any effect on her ability to do her job. That's why they could still work together from time to time. Bodega scanned the bar casually, saw Tamara immediately, and began approaching. Tamira felt her face flush in response. Be cool, she told herself. Tamira, how's it hanging, pard? Asked Bodega. She played it cool. Men who fancied her didn't usually refer to her as pard, but she reminded herself this was a business meeting. Could do with a refill, B, she said, swilling the last of her Volve ale around the bottle to emphasize her point. Bodega turned to the bar and held up two fingers and took a seat across from Tamira. Within 20 seconds, an eager barboy pranced over with their drinks. Hate sitting like this, said Bodega, clearly uncomfortable with his back to the door. There's room here, said Tamira, sliding along to make space for her crush. She wore a midnight blue skin suit, and as she slid across the wooden bench, it made a pleasing squeaking sound. She noticed Bodega involuntarily bite his lip, and she stifled a smile. No matter how much of a badass a man was, she'd still never met one that could resist her ass in this outfit. Bodega and Tamira sat side by side, eyeing the bar for a good 10 minutes before the man spoke. Tamira, he said, I'm putting together a crew. Hoping you're available. He turned to look at her, nothing but honesty written across his face, but there was the faintest twinkle in his grey eyes. Holy Flav, she thought, my chance to get close to Bodega. For the last 5 years, she'd been working as a spy, mainly corporate stuff. High-end deals, companies trying to steal from one another, boardroom manipulation, twisting a campaign slogan towards strength or weakness, intel leaks, assassinations, and of course, some general admin work and making cups of scoffy, that kind of stuff. But there was a chance to test her mettle with Bodega, and maybe, if she was lucky, catch his eye. What's in it for me, she asked, trying to play it cool. Not much. Money, hopefully. Glory, maybe, said Bodega, downing his drink and ripping a vast cumulonimbus on his mega vape. Also, Bodega began, leaning in a little closer, much to Tamira's delight. Not sure if you heard what happened to me, but we got flarved over. Woman's name was Sheila. Well, that's what she went by. Let me guess. Middle-aged appearance, frumpy, harmless, and made the best damn scoffy you've ever had, she smirked. Yep, that's the one, sighed Bodega. She took about 500 million skrulls and made for the cosmos. Need some help tracking her down. Name's not Sheila, it's Wargon. Shape-shifting son of a scrub. And he's a bad mother. Tamira was cut off mid-sentence by Bodega's expression. His smile had dropped, his eyes were on the door. Tamira turned to see what had caught his eye, and right on cue, in walked Wargon, disguised for some reason as Sheila. Well, I'll be flarved, spat Bodega, pulling his las gun under the table. Not here, and not yet, said Tamira, placing a hand across the gun and tilting it away from Wargon. Tamira, that bastard stole half a bill from me, and in my book that means it's party time, said Bodega, pulling a second gun out of his coat with his other hand. Bodega, please, Tamira insisted, using her other hand to push the second gun aside. Tamira, I ain't letting this fool get away from me, said Bodega, angling his left boot towards Wargon, a small lasgun barrel visible at the toe cap. Bodega, trust me, pleaded Tamira, using her right foot to angle Bodega's boot away from Wargon. We need to know who he's meeting first. I don't care who he's meeting, said Bodega, using his remaining leg to point a toe cap towards Wargon. You need to wait, hissed Tamira angrily, as she worked her other leg over and pinned Bodega's last leg to the bench. She was straddling him at this point, her back to Wargon, her face close to the sinewy cowboy writhing below her. Bodega looked square into Tamira's eyes, his face full of fury. A braid of her hair slipped from her head and touched his face. Then her lips touched his, and suddenly Bodega had forgotten all about that varmint Wargon as he and Tamira smooched like teenagers right here in the darkest corner of the Wallop Bar and Grill. Okay, pard, we'll play it your way, said Bodega, breathless as their lips finally parted. Good, said Tamira. And honey, please don't call me pard. Bodega tipped the brim of his hat and looked a tad sheepish. Wargon, in Sheila form, was sat at a table around 30 meters away at the far side of the room. Bodega and Tamira sank back into the shadows of their cubicle and watched as Wargon ordered a drink and eyed the door. Around 15 minutes later, a figure in a dark red suit entered, face obscured by a desert cloak. They glanced around the bar and finally took a seat across from Wargon, who pushed a package across the table towards the cloaked figure, who then pushed a small red disc across the table back to Wargon. They shook hands and then both stood and left by separate exits. You follow the man in red.
I've got Wargon, said Tamira. Oh, sorry. You follow the man in red. I've got Wargon, said Tamira. Be careful, said Bodega. It's okay. Me and Wargon go way back, said Tamira, her face hardening. Bodega slipped expertly through the crowd, not drawing any attention as he skulked after the man in red. Tamira made straight for the staff exit out the back and positioned herself in the darkness of an alleyway, watching for Wargon. Her hands closed around the grip of her Pentafire 8 pistol as she prayed Wargon would come her way. To be continued.
Oh, bit of a cliffhanger.
It's
nice.
Good. It's a really good one.
That's a good one. They're all good.
I did notice a little Freudian slip in the middle.
What was okay. it?
Well, because you say that you're not Bodega.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You're not Bodega, but you call Bodega Baldega.
No, that was not true. I am not Bodega, clearly.
Oh man.
I like to think that you are Bodega.
The ladies love Bodega, and he has a firm head of hair. Like, come on.
He's got like an Elvis hair. Like, really thick.
He's bold. He's bold.
He's not bold. Bodega. Hey, let's.
No, bold as in he's bold. He's willing to take action.
Bold. Bold. Yes, he's not bold.
Bodega.
That's what we're going with. Not Baldega.
There's been a lot of talk about whether I'm projecting various aspects of my personality and personal life in the Bodega stories. And I've got to say, I'm sure that it can't be helped. A little bit of me squeaks out.
A tiny little bit of you's got to sneak through.
He's a fantasy character. I mean, you know, Bodega's a guy you'd love to be. He's a badass. And
he's fucking great.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he vapes as well. And you vape too.
He does vape. He does drink.
He drinks. You drink.
He kills everything that pisses him off.
In a virtual setting.
There's a lot of commonality
in video games.
I am not Bodega. He's just like a fantasy character, but he's.
Well, you know, P-Flex. Yeah. That was amazing. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Travels Podcast.
Thank you this week.
Thank you, Sips.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, P-Flex.
Thank you, Lewis.
No, thank you. No, yeah, thank you.
We should do a song like "Thank You, Lewis." Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Sips.
All right, we can work on
We're
that
going
one.
To leave you now.
Thanks for listening
to this
shit.
Wank. Goodbye.
Fuck off.
Fuck you. Don't judge me.